Good morning. We welcome you to Lana Judah Worship Center's internet service this first Sunday in May 2018. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I would encourage each listener to take a few moments and just praise the Lord. Meditate on the Lord. Meditate on the goodness of the Lord to us in the land of the living. And if you're having problems discerning the love of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, think about this. If you awakened this morning and you were able to get out of bed without any assistance, praise the Lord. That is indeed a blessing. If you have food in your refrigerator and in your pantries, praise the Lord. So many people don't. If your body is not racked with pain and you are able to have great mobility, praise the Lord. For indeed the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And you know what? The word says that daily he loadeth us with benefits, Psalms 103. Daily he loadeth us with benefits. Well, what are some of those benefits that the Lord loadeth us with? His angels have charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. He provides for us our daily bread, and not just physical bread, but healing is the children's bread. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. He's an ever-present presence round about us. He's our protector. He's our source. He's our resource. He is indeed indicative of all of our love. And we worship and adore him, and we bow down our soul and all soul portions as we worship the living God. Glory to God. Our spirits are rejoicing, our souls are dancing, and our lips are giving praise, glory, and honor unto the living God, possessor of heaven and earth. Praise the living God. I am Pastor Dougherty, and I welcome you to our service. Our message this morning is entitled, The Power of Transforming. Before we share our message this morning, we're going to share scriptures. And our scriptures are all based upon wisdom. The word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And there is more than one type of wisdom. So we are, of course, speaking about the wisdom that cometh from above, the wisdom of God. We find references to it in Proverbs, where we're told that wisdom has set her table. That's the communion, that's the blood covenant, that we have the ability to cut a blood covenant with the wisdom of God. That's in Proverbs chapters 8, 9, and 10. Speaks about godly wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to utilize the knowledge that we have accumulated according unto God's plan and God's purpose, that we have the wisdom and the understanding to be able to utilize the knowledge that we have received to advance the kingdom of God. Praise the living God. And our scriptures are James 1:5, Ecclesiastes 2:26, Proverbs 3:13 and 14, Proverbs 4, verses 7 and 8, Proverbs 24, verse 14, Psalms 51:6, and James 3:17. And beginning with James, we read, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. From Ecclesiastes, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. From Proverbs 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Proverbs 4, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Proverbs 24. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. Psalms 51. Behold, God desireth truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts God shall make me to know wisdom. And we will conclude with James 3:17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom without partiality and without hypocrisy. May the word, the entry of God's word, shine brightly into our spirits and our souls, and may it bear fruit in us. Lasting fruit that will enable us to grow in wisdom. Praise the living God. And now let us begin the pursuit of that wisdom through the application of our message for today, the power of transformation. And our scriptural reference is Romans 12:2. And Romans 12:2 says, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3, all right? And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is to believers. There are many pathways, there are many teachings on how we can change our minds, and they're all good. But when this word says renew our minds, in essence, we need to consider the fact that when we accepted Jesus as Lord, as Savior, we're still working on making him Lord, our spirits were reborn, but our minds did not change. They're still filled with that same mold that we operated in prior. And in order to bring that mindset under the authority of the Spirit of the living God, and to utilize the wisdom that we just read about in the Word, then our minds has to be renewed, because they're not, they're still out there. They're still doing, they're still wanting the things that they wanted before. They are still attempting to make all of the decisions and not to come under the authority of the Spirit of the living God. Praise the living God. Glory to God. I had written down some information that I had wanted to share, but it seems to have fled. I don't see it. When I locate it, I will come back to it. But in the meantime, we're going to share those same three scriptures from the Amplified. This was the New King James that we read prior. And the Amplified we read, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. Praise the living God. Be transformed, not conformed. Glory to God. You know, the battle that we fight, the primary battle, spiritual battle that we fight, is a battle for the mind, because that's where the Prince of Darkness attacks. As I stated prior, our minds are a storage center. And all of the thoughts and things that come into us are vying for places in our minds. The things that we do according to what we think. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so what we think then creates a mold. And that mold is set. And in order to transform our thought process and therefore our mind, we need to first break up that old mold that we can begin planting a new mold. The mold that is created by the word of the living God, the wisdom of God, the love of God. And sometimes we have great difficulties because we have not broken up that old mold, and we've tried to pour a mold of the word of the living God on top of the old one, and we find out that it does not always work as we would like it to work. Glory to God. Be not conformed, but be transformed. The Greek word translated conformed carries the idea of constant changes we make according to the fashion of the times. The word that Paul used for being transformed refers to our souls being changed. When we were born again, our spirits became new, but our souls need to be transformed, changed entirely. As believers, we are to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. So present your body. So in other words, the things from the old life, the appetites, the cravings that took us captive, that as we progressively mature in the things of God, that all of these things will lose their appeal to us. But in order for them to lose their appeal to us, we've got to fall out of agreement with them. So many believers are struggling with sins of the past, with the appetites. There's been no change. Spirits were reborn, but the souls remain the same. And you know what that creates? Carnality. Carnal believers. Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where he says, you're carnal, you're still babes, you cannot partake of the strong meat of the word. Someone has to feed you the milk of the word, and that does not produce quality growth. So we must of necessity. And remember, we teach spiritual warfare here at the Lion of Judah Worship Center. And in order for us to engage the forces of darkness successfully, as God has proposed and planned for us to do, we must of necessity get a new mindset. The word conform also means to mold. It means to become as one with. This is from Webster's Dictionary, conform and transform. Whereas transform means change. How are we changed? Literally by adopting a new thought pattern. You know, a sculptor designs a piece according to what is seen inside of them. And Every time that I have interviewed a sculptor and asked them, well, how do you see it? Because I look at it and I see a block of stone or whatever their material they're working with. I don't see the image that they see. And their answer is, I just chip away everything that's not a part of what I see. And this is what that word, we have to take that word of God, that it may chip away everything that it doesn't see. And that word of God sees the image of God. We are to be recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus. Philippians tells us to let this mind be in Christ that was also in us. It's actually that 2 Corinthians and Philippians says that we have received, but you have received the mind of Christ. So in other words, we have the opportunity and the privilege to have that thought pattern, that same thought pattern that Jesus operated in. Remember when we spoke about the goodness of God and how good God is to us and how He has provided a benefit package on a daily basis? Daily He loadeth us with benefits, not just scant of my, but He loadeth us. That means we are filled to the rim with the benefits of God. Well, guess what one of those benefits are? The mind of Christ. God's plan for us is to grow, to prosper, to bring forth fruit, to be overcomers, to be able to overcome the prince of darkness and his minions. He hasn't left us alone. We're not orphans. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. But if I do not go away, the Spirit cannot come. But the Spirit did come. He said to his disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. And on Pentecost Sunday, they came. The Holy Spirit descended upon the believers. There were 120 of them in the upper room, and they were praying. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, descended and set upon them as fire, the fire of God, that fire that burns away all impurities. And you know, it's sitting on their heads. It had to go down. It had to travel down. It had to travel through their mouths, their throats, their, you know, all of those things to get down inside. And when it was doing that, it was burning away impurities. And so when we began to make that change, that's in essence what we're doing. We are getting rid of the impurities. We are receiving the mind of Christ. We are putting on the armor of God on a daily basis. We are meditating on that word of the living God, that it may indeed transform us. Back to sculpture and how they create images. How do you create an image? Just chip away everything that is not a part of what I see. The Word of God will create new images. That mold that we spoke about earlier, that old mold that has to be broken off. Jeremiah 23:29 tells us that the Word of God is a hammer that breaks up hard, rocky places. So we take that Word of the living God and we break that mold, that we may create a new mold. And this new mold is created from the Word of God. And it helps us to change our thinking. You know, some thoughts will start to surface and we will remember, oh no. And you know how we remember? Because we have planted Philippians 4:8. This says, whatsoever things are good and pure and perfect and lovely and of a good report, think on these things. And that helps us to keep the bad thoughts out, because we don't give them a place. We don't meditate on them. We don't keep them before our eyes, but we keep that word. This is meditate literally means it's keeping it before our eyes. God said, keep my word before your eyes. Do not let it depart from before your eyes. That's what he means. Meditate on that word. Keep that word. When we keep God's word before our eyes, then we are able to create a new thought pattern. The Word of God creates an image on the inside of us as we meditate on that word. Joshua 1:8 says, God speaking to Joshua told him, if you want to have good success and to prosper, meditate in my word day and night. Meditate means to mutter. It means to speak. It's not thinking about it. It's speaking it. You know, sometimes we get caught up and we're listening to Christian music. We're listening to quote unquote Christian talk shows and Christian comedians and all of this. But let me tell you something, Church of the Living God, nothing can or should supplant the Word of the Living God. Those things are good, but they are not forming an image on the inside of us. We are not growing. And when we are challenged by the Prince of Darkness, then we come to understand that the level of faith that is required is not there. Because these things, though they are good things, they are not the Word. Okay? And we need the pure, undefiled, without preservatives, without additives, no GMO modification, in order to grow and to be able to walk in the newness of having our minds renewed by the Word of the Living God. Hallelujah. We're going to look at some examples. If you are ill, place a picture of you in robust health in plain view as you speak healing scriptures. Look at those pictures of you filled with robust, vibrant health. Now, about this time, someone is saying, oh, well, you know, that sounds like, well, let us go to Genesis chapter 30 and look at verses 35 through 38. Because this is another example of why we need to know the Word. When we know that Word, when we have meditated on that Word, the Holy Spirit can bring that word to our remembrance. When something is challenging us and we're wondering whether it is actually scriptural or not, if we have meditated on that word of the living God, the Holy Spirit would bring it forth and say, oh, okay, I remember that now. Genesis 30, verses 35 through 38. Okay, we're going to start with verse 31. Okay? I would encourage you, as I always do, to read the entire chapter, and that way we have a much clearer understanding of what is going on rather than when we come into it midways. And if that's all we listen to, then we sometimes are confused about what went on before. So I'm going to begin with verse 31. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes up, you, everyone that is not speckled, are spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs, will be considered stolen. If it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Verse 37. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and oil and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. We read that to answer any questions that might arise as to whether this is mind science or whether this is what you keep before your eyes you are conceiving. You will conceive what you keep before your eyes because it is setting a mold. And so therefore, when God says to us that we are to renew our minds, we are to keep that word before our eyes. We are to meditate on that word. What happened when they saw those poplars? Each time they came to drink, what did they see? The peeling that was before their eyes, and that's what they reproduced. It's the same with us, and that's what this message is all about, and that is what the word that we just read in Genesis is telling us. That which we keep before us, that which we keep focused, that we stay focused on, that which our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, is looking upon, is that which we will reproduce. And so in order to reproduce godliness, righteousness, right actions, right thoughts, we've got to keep that word of God in front of our eyes. We've got to meditate on that word, and thereby we are creating a new mold, and it is that new mold that will transform us. When I was in the process of being delivered from smoking, and I tried all the physical apparatus, and nothing had brought full and true deliverance. I might stop for a month or a little less or a little longer, but I always went back. And when I was born again, with the knowledge of knowing what it meant to be born again, because even though I was raised in church, I knew about God, but I did not have a personal relationship with God. And yes, we can have a personal relationship with God. And that's when we reach that point of where we want to do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in His sight. When we are desirous of being transformed into the image of God. We're desirous of letting some things go that we know are not pleasing, not acceptable in His sight. We're willing to strip off those old appetites. Praise the living God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when he says that, he's not just speaking about physical things. He's not speaking about some things. Total transformation. Peter says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Mark says that we will... Jesus speaking said, they that believe on me, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now, don't get upset. He did in this instance, he's not referring to speaking in tongues. He is referring to learning to speak as God speaks. Because Romans 4:20 says that God calleth those things that be not as though they were. In other words, when God said, light be, he didn't stand around biting his nails, crossing his fingers, wondering if those molecules or subatomic particles, those atoms, etc., were going to accrete to that point where they would ignite, create an explosion, and form light. He didn't do that because he knew that he had what he said. He had an image. He knew he wasn't experimenting. He knew exactly what he expected. And so when you read Genesis 1, where it says, "And God said, let there be." And God said, let there be. What is he doing? He's calling forth that which he is desirous of. He is creating that image. When he said, light be, those subatomic particles, those atoms, those molecules, etc., they all began to accrete, to come together and to rotate. And as they rotated even faster and faster, and that friction built up, they ignited. And that ignition produced hydrogen. And from that hydrogen, the second ignition created helium. And so forth and so on, all the way up to cast iron. And I'm not sure in which order that they all go, but that rotation, that's how stars are born. Okay? That's how stars are created. The power of the word, the power of the word of the living God. And so when we speak the word of the living God, we are to speak that word in faith and in confidence in God, just as he had confidence. But you know what? If our minds are not totally renewed, we don't have that confidence, because if there's still fear embedded in our minds, if our minds are still filled with doubt and unbelief, and, you know, we want to critique it and we want to, you know, do all manner of things, and we might acquiesce to it, we might mentally assent to it, but that's not faith. And the word says that without faith, it is impossible for us to please God. So if we are desirous of being pleasing and acceptable in his sight, then we must of necessity begin the process. It is a process. It does not happen overnight, but we must begin that process of transforming our minds, a new mindset. You know, but we are not, and I can't say this enough, because in an effort to promote humility, many times we say that, you know, well, you know, we're all just old sinners saved by grace, but that's not what God calls us. You see what I mean by God calling those things to be not, and we needing to learn to speak in new tongues with, you know, because his word says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, we're not there yet. You know, we're in transition. But we should begin to refer to ourselves as God refers to us. We're children of the Most High God. We have been adopted into his family. When we were sinners, we were separated from him. When the fall occurred in the Garden of Eden, the spirit of man died. There was no direct communication, spirit to spirit, between God and mankind. That's why Jesus came, to reconnect us. Scripture tells us that God the Father was not angry with the world, but he was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back unto himself, the world meaning humanity, and eventually all of creation. Because the word also says all creation is crying out and waiting for the sons of God to manifest, to rise up and to be the caretakers that God expected mankind to be when he gave him control over this planet and set him up as God over this planet with a small g. Well, when the fall occurred, there was a transition, because the serpent disguised of the former archangel Lucifer, the devil, Satan, etc., then became God of this planet. He's not the big God, but he is God of this planet. He is ruling through the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls. That's another reason why we must renew our minds. Our minds must be totally connected to our reborn spirits, that when the spirit of the living God speaks into our spirits and it outflows into our thoughts and our mind, that we're able to discern This is the Spirit of the living God. This is what God would have me do. But if there's no direct communication from our spirits to our minds outflowing, then that creates more difficulty. And we don't always understand exactly what we are to do. Creating change begins on the inside, the soul images. Proverbs 23:7 tells us that as a man thinks at his heart, so is he. So we want the transforming power of God to work in us, through us, and for us. Begin to plant that word of life. Jesus said the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. When we focus on what God says about us instead of what the world, circumstances, situations, generational restrictions, limitations, etc., and use these as our standard, we are conforming to the world culture. When we make judgments that are based solely on appearances, we are conforming to the world culture. When we allow those images to dictate our actions, we are conforming to the world culture. When we look at the early church, we see change taking place as they showed the good news. The peoples received their words, acted on them, and made changes. In Ephesus, the silversmiths went to the authorities because the peoples were no longer purchasing the silver idols. They were quite prosperous because they made idols from pure silver of the fertility goddess Diana. The statue of Diana was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world and was located in Ephesus. But when they heard the good news and the changes, you see how change, before they worshiped Diana, the goddess of fertility. But when they heard the good news, the gospel, they began that transformation. And when they began that transformation, they no longer bought the idols. They no longer had idols. They were no longer idol worshipers, but they became worshipers of the one true and living God. And this upset the silversmiths because their earnings were decreasing. So they went to the magistrates and complained about Paul and the others who were teaching and the people. Paul stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. And a caveat, years later, the Apostle John was the presiding prelate over Ephesus and the surrounding areas during the reign of Emperor Domitian, who had him exiled to the Isle of Patmos because he was preaching the good news, and the peoples were still being transformed because Ephesus was an important trading route. It was in Asia, part of the Asian province under the Roman Empire that is now part of Turkey. But the people were transformed because they heard the good news. We have that same good news. They didn't have the 26 books of the New Testament. They had the words that the apostles were preaching to them about this Jesus of Nazareth. And they preached Jesus and him crucified. And God confirmed their words. The Holy Spirit confirmed their words. And as they preached, the words literally burned, the words of the living God. God's word will transform us if we are open and willing to receive it. And they were transformed. Well, guess what? God is still in the transformational business. His words will still transform us if we are willing and obedient and we give the Holy Spirit the permission to transform us, that we may be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And be in a position to conduct spiritual warfare and to win. To win. God's intent for us is to win. To win. And even when we don't appear to be winning, we're still winning because God is on our side. How can we not win with God on our side? God, El Elyon, the Most High. God, El Shaddai, the Almighty. God, Jehovah, the self-existent one. And he's on our side. We're winning. Yeah? Chaos and calamity can be all around us. But we're winning because God is on our side. So, dearly beloved, today, I would encourage each one that hears this message to take some time and ask the Holy Spirit to help us, all of us, to transform our minds, that we will not be conformed to this world. And as I said, it goes deeper. This is not just surface. This is a total makeover. The Holy Spirit has to do a total makeover. First thing he does is he sheds the love of God abroad in our spirits, because our spirits were like desert land, you know, nothing, whatever came up. That's the way they were. He is desirous of transforming our entire spirits, because we're to love the Lord our God with our whole heart. With our soul, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might. That's how we are to love the Lord our God. And we can't do that when there are other things taking up space. We can't do that when we're still operating in the old mindset. And we're trying to add little drops of the new mindset and the God life into that. But it doesn't take us long to find out if that's not working. So, dearly beloved, let us determine in 2018 that this is going to be the year that we are going to actively pursue transformation of our minds. Begins with transforming our thoughts, becoming thought monitors. We're to act as thought monitors, to monitor the thoughts thoughts that are coming in. And to make a quick decision. Are they good? Are they pure? Are they perfect? Are they lovely? Are they a good report? According to Philippians 4:8. And also Proverbs 4, verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. And when we do that and we put on the mind of Christ, you know, actively, as you're getting dressed, you know, when you put on the armor of God, every morning, and I pray that each one of us is putting on the armor of God before we leave home in the morning, that our feet are shod with the preparation for the gospel of peace, that we put on the girdle of truth, that we have the breastplate of righteousness, that we take in our hand the shield of faith, wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, that we put on the helmet of salvation, and from our mouths goes forth the two-edged sword, which is the word of the living God. We are then clad in the armor of God Almighty. That's his armor. And we're ready to face whatever the wicked one brings against us and return triumphant, because God is on our side. Well, you have a blessed and prosperous day. Listen to this message repeatedly. Don't just listen once, but listen until it transforms from head knowledge to heart revelation knowledge, once it gets down into our hearts, that indeed we may be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And may God, the Father of light, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide within us. And may they continue to lead, guide, and direct us, that we indeed may become fruit bearers. We do not want to be fig trees having green leaves but no fruit. Green leaves but no fruit. God is desirous of us bearing fruit for the kingdom. And that should be our primary desire, is bearing fruit for the kingdom. Well, I'm so glad you joined us. And it is my prayer that the Spirit of the living God will keep each and every one of us, that we will walk in paths of righteousness, that we will hear his voice saying to us, this is the way, walk ye in it, that we will have the strength, that we will have the courage, that no matter what the enemy brings our way, that we will stop and we will consider that the Lord is on my side. And we will not be fearful, And we will not be doubtful. And we will not revert. We will not do a backflip to the old mindset. But we will ask the Lord to give us the words to speak, that we may speak the words that Father can confirm. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you join us here next week, because I believe the Holy Spirit will set another smorgasbord for us on becoming spiritually mature and able to engage in spiritual warfare. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Praise the living God.